It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
The crones, they got chocolate-covered orange wedges. The juice just dribbles down your chin. The wedge of the actual fruit is covered with that thick, dark chocolate. You know?
Oh, boy. How'd you write the stuff one that I'm in a donut?
You fellas have a lot of growing up to do, I'll tell you that. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. What?
Way out of line.
New tape?
Ridiculous.
What?
Sorry.
It's a new tape. Haven't played it a lot.
In fact, that might have been the first time. Welcome
back. It's debut. 877-365-3636. That is the number. How's that shake doing, Robbie?
Fine.
Rob's lost 23 pounds.
23 pounds. Wow.
23 pounds. He's drinking his shakes, and that one looked a little painful. I got to be honest with you. That
It's better today.
Is it?
I tried something new.
Okay.
I put water in the freezer a half hour ago, so the water's very, very cold.
Rob's enjoying his physician's weight loss shake. There's a shameless plug for you.
Thank you very much.
Rob, do we have any scary music over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of it. Let's talk paranormal right now and bring Chip Coffee onto the show. Chip is the host of A&E's Psychic Kids. Children of the Paranormal. Hey, Chip, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. It's totally my pleasure, guys.
I want to ask you, I want some definitions here before we get started. You're listed as a clairvoyant. A clairaudient, is that the correct pronunciation?
You got it.
And a clairsentient. Please, if you could, and also you're a medium. So what?
Well, actually, I'm a large, but we'll.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. He gets a rim shot for that one. Where is it? There it is. Just got back from vacation. Can't find all the buttons. What is a clairaudient? What does that mean?
It means that with my psychic ability, I'm able to hear things clearly.
Okay, so you can hear, like, voices? Is that what you're talking about?
Sometimes I can.
Is our show tomorrow funny?
Funnier than today.
Oh, there we go. Another one for him, ladies and gentlemen. So. There it is. I can't find it. Can't find the rim shot now that it's in red.
We haven't. Oh, the problem is the color.
And you're also a medium, Chip. Now, you host the show with the kids, but you're well-known for your abilities as far as, going into these paranormal situations and also communicating from people who have I love this expression passed over. I always like that. What do clairsentience do that clairvoyance can't do?
Those are all just fancy words for the fact that I'm able to access energy and information that you can't get with your five human senses. Clairsentient means you just feel the emotion or you have an empathic feeling about what's going on in a situation.
I've always been curious, people that do what you do. Does your brain hurt? Because it would seem to me with all this going on that it would be, it would be a difficult situation sometimes.
It can be very exhausting, absolutely. I mean, from an energetic standpoint, when you've got all that information coming at you, totally. So usually after I'm involved in doing some stuff for a while, I am worn out.
And you're brought in, you've been on several different shows, but the new show is Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal. You actually, can you identify by looking at one of these children whether they are legit or not? And how small are the children that have these abilities?
I think that children of any age can have abilities. I've heard of kids that are, in their cribs and seeing things. But the kids we worked with specifically on Psychic Kids are anywhere from the age of 8 through 19.
I don't know why, but when I saw the ad for this show, there's something very chilling about children having this ability. And I don't know whether it's the horror movies that we grew up with Children of the Corn and that type of stuff, or you look at the Shining with the little boy that's Red Rum, that he's got the ability too. There's something very scary because you think of the mind of a child as being so innocent.
And pure.
But the fact that they can do this, and it's fascinating to me.
It's fascinating to me as well. We've worked with some great kids.
What is the scariest situation, and this doesn't have to pertain to the kids, what is the scariest situation you've been in?
For myself, the scariest situation that I've ever been in, I don't usually get too scared. I grew up being nyctophobic, which means totally afraid of the dark, and until I was well past college, I slept with a 100-watt light bulb on in my room.
Do you think that's because you had the ability? Is that why?
They can get you in the dark.
Now that doesn't sound very credible right there. That sounds like anybody would say that, a little kid. The bad guys, the goblins can get you in the dark?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's not true.
Well, I don't think it's true.
How do people know they have the gift, of this ability to be either a medium or a clairvoyant or a psychic chip? How do they know they have it?
I believe that most psychic information is in some way verifiable. If you come up with things, if you're precognitive about something, or you come up with some information and that information can be substantiated or verified, I believe that that's the biggest litmus test that you can use. You know, if you get information that comes to you from a source that you readily can't identify, i.e. your five human senses, and it bypasses that, then I think that if something is verified and corroborated, I think that you can pretty much get the impression that it came from a source that's not, you know, sensory overload on this level.
Is your gift the type of thing where I think of someone who's psychic is saying, of doing it several different ways, but the most significant would be, I had a premonition that something bad was going to happen, or I had a premonition that something was going to happen in my life and it actually came true. Has that happened to you?
You know, there's some level of that. I think more than anything, the best way that I can describe it is what I get is it kind of bypasses everything else and it's just kind of implanted in my brain. And I know that I know. I don't know how I know, but I know that I know. So, yeah, precognitive, I get some things that are future-oriented, and I can walk into a place. Here's an example. I'm on the road right now with the crew from Paranormal State, which is another A&E show that I frequently appear
on. Is that where the college students go into the is it Penn State? Is that the college that they're from?
Yes, absolutely.
And they go into different homes where there might be paranormal phenomenon, and you join them quite often in these investigations.
Yeah, I come on as the psychic and the medium to help them kind of get a handle on what's going on in a location and help them to evaluate what's happening. They bring me on as someone to, you know, kind of help connect the dots.
So what's happening right now?
Well, we just came back from a shoot in Portland last night. We got waylaid halfway in Phoenix on a weather delay, and I didn't get into my hotel room until 4:30 a.m., so if I sound a little bit brain dead, it's because actually I am.
No, you're fine.
But we went to a location, and the first thing that I got was that there was something that watched the family that kind of walked up and down this alleyway between their house and the mountain, the start of a mountain that was right next to their house, and I picked it up immediately. And I thought the most interesting thing was I did something I'd never asked for before. I asked for a pen and paper to draw what I was seeing in my head, and I drew an image of it, and unbeknownst to me at that point in time, because they bring me in completely knowing nothing and cold, the lady that lives in the house is an artist, and she drew a portrait of what, or a picture of what she had been seeing outside those same windows, and they were pretty much identical.
Oh, I love that stuff. Wow. And that doesn't, I mean, I've watched the show with the kids from Penn State, and that doesn't happen all the time. You guys are pretty open and honest about it. If you get something, you get it. If you don't, you don't. It can be a flash of light. It can be an image that somebody sees.
Right.
How much of this is around us? And if it is around us, can the average person kind of tweak their skills a little bit? Can they tweak themselves up where they can be more perceptive of this sixth sense? You hear it put that way quite often.
I think that everyone has the ability. I believe that some people are more able to tap into it. Some people are good at playing a guitar or a piano or playing golf or tennis or whatever. And then there are those that can seemingly access, that's the word I'm trying to spit out,
okay,
access this ability more easily than others. I happen to be one of those people. I've seen others that are around. I always go with the thing of ask and you shall receive. Be patient. Be aware, start looking beneath the surface and beyond the obvious, and really pay attention to those little intuitive moments that you get. And the more that they come to you, I believe that you'll be able to access them more readily. I think that they'll come to you.
When you're talking about your ability as a medium, and I know, Buzz, you've got a question here. When you're talking about your ability as a medium, can everybody that's gone before us, are they out there? And if you get on the right frequency, can you communicate with the people of the past? Or is it a certain segment of people that go before us that we can talk to?
You know, people have asked me if I've communicated with Jesus Christ. They've asked me if I've communicated with the Virgin Mary. They've asked me if I've communicated with celebrities. And, you know, not so much. Most of the people that I communicate with are, you know, my clients who have lost a loved one and really want that assurance that the soul is immortal and that their loved ones are at rest and at peace and happy. So I have communicated with a couple of celebrities. You know, I have not talked to, you know, I have not
Name a celebrity. I'd like to know a celebrity you've talked to.
John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Wow.
Neat.
Recently in the news for his lyrics being auctioned
That's
off.
Right.
I remember that. How's John doing?
Actually, I wrote an article about John, about a connection that he had to a story about his whole murder with Mark David Chapman, another interesting story for another time. But after I did that, John was everywhere around me, and actually a lady who was writing a biography on Lennon called me and asked me to communicate with him, and we had a pretty successful talk.
Wow. You know, I feel the way about your abilities and what you do in the same way I feel about UFOs. I think that there's a lot more out there than we can even understand. You know, the whole deal about as much of our brains as we use. Mm. And I think really for people, how do you do with skeptics? You obviously must encounter it on a semi-regular basis.
You know, I'm not here to convince or convert anybody to my ways of thinking because I'm a skeptic, a healthy skeptic myself.
Right.
I don't buy everything hook, line, and sinker. You know, people may get the wrong impression of what I do, but there are times when I doubt what's going on around in a situation and really have to focus in and turn on that pragmatic part of myself. But I really do believe that there's so many things that we don't understand. Something you'll often hear me say is this: we might not understand it, we might not be able to explain it, but we can't deny that there are things that go on that we just don't get.
Well, you know, it's just like the caller that we're getting. I'm not going to take the call, but Darren from Spokane, who's saying, shouldn't you have known about your flight delay? You know, I'm sure you get that quite a bit, too, that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
and you know,
stuff.
If I could give anybody the lottery numbers, I wouldn't be on the phone talking to you guys right now. I would be living in my villa on the Amalfi coast of Italy, being served by an overly attentive staff.
The thing is, though, when I watched, Chip, help me out with the name of the guy that communicates with, had the television show.
John Edward.
And right. You watch this guy, and I'm sitting there, and at the same time, I'm hoping against hope that if I ran into that guy, I would say, hey, can you try to get me in touch with my father? It would make me very, very happy.
Sure.
But when I'm watching it from a distance, I kind of say, boy, this to me seems like it could be very easily manipulated.
Carnival show.
You know, it really is one of those things that there are those people that always say, oh, it's cold reading. They're talking on body language. I do most of my readings on the phone.
Right.
I don't see body language. You know, I am a human being, so I hear people's reactions, and of course I cannot turn that off.
Right.
I hope that what I do, such as if you wanted me to talk to your dad, I would hope that I would give you a moment that I call an oh my God or an aha moment, something that I would pick up that was so personal and so profound that I just couldn't pull it out of thin air.
Well, can you do this over the phone? Are you able to do this? I mean, I know you haven't gotten a lot of sleep, but I'd be willing. I'm game if you're game, Chip. If you'd like to
tell you that I really today, and this is not a cop out, I really didn't come prepared to do a reading for you on the phone. But I'll tell you this.
Okay.
You contact me at any time. My treat to you. You know, I'm not gonna. You know, ask you to pay me to do a session for you.
Right.
Even though that's the way I make my living, I will. And no excuses about that. Another topic that people condemn me for about making a living by doing this, but I'm not getting into that right now. You call me on the phone. You ask me to talk to your dad. I'm going to ask you three questions. I'm going to ask you who the person is you want to talk to. Give me just the first name, the relationship. I already know it's your dad.
Right.
And how long ago it's been since he passed. That's all I need from you. I put my energy out there with the intent that we're wanting to contact him, hopefully get the results, and bring you back things, at least a few things that are recognizable to you, and hopefully one, if not more, things that are just going to make you go, oh, my God, there's no way he could have pulled that out of his yin-yang.
Now, will you be able to do, you want to do that off-air, correct?
You know, I really think that that's probably the best bet because...
Yeah, but it's not the best bet when you're trying to fill 4 hours of radio time a day. I would love it. I mean, if you were... And I'm not trying to bust your balls, Chip, but I would love to do that if it's possible. I would love to do that if we get another chance to chat. I'd love to give that a whack and to try it just once on the air. If it was just me, because I know obviously this is how you make your living,
sure.
You know, I would love to just give that a crack if you're willing sometime in the near future.
Absolutely. If you catch me at a time when I'm not functioning on 3 hours sleep...
That's a good. We'll
do
it.
Good to
Fair
go.
Enough.
Absolutely, Rob. You had a question for Chip. Before
Chip,
we
you
let
talk
him go.
About how you can, you know, everyone has the ability, and you can tune it up and find it, and you've probably gotten better at it as
right.
you progress. Is there a way for you to sort of power it down if it's just too overwhelming and like turn it off for yourself for a little while, or is it always there?
It is not always there, and that's a common question that I get asked by people who are not able to turn it off. The way that I do it is, and I'll explain it to you, not hoping to stretch your belief system, but just hear me out on this one. I've made some agreements with those people that I work with in spirit who act kind of like guardians or sentinels over my ability, because I don't want to be Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost that's having Patrick Swayze sing all night to me. Mm-hmm. Don't want to go there. I don't want to be walking in a grocery store and pass by a lady pushing a kid in the cart and hear in my head, you know, from grandma that died years ago, oh, there's my granddaughter and my great-grandchild. Say hello for me. No. I'm crazy enough in my normal life, just being Chip, that I don't want to have that constant barrage or that constant assault. So they help me guard those incoming things so that if I don't have the on switch turned on or the open for business, so to speak, mm-hmm. I'm not getting constantly assaulted with information from the spirit realm. They kind of stand sentinel over my abilities.
Got to be open to it.
Well, the one thing that I will tell you is if it's going to prevent an accident or a tragedy or something like that, come through. They can send me through something unsolicited when I'm off the clock.
Has that happened?
It has happened.
Mm. Bulletins.
Oh, boy, I want to get you when you have more sleep, Chip, because I'd like to ask you what that time was.
I can tell you what that time was.
Okay.
I was actually on an airplane, and there was a stewardess who passed by me shortly after the 9/11 tragedies that happened. And I'd gotten on an airplane, and she passed me by, and something inside my head said she's got a malignant growth on her back. And I thought, I can't tell this woman that. No. I can't just pull this stewardess up to me or this flight attendant up to me and say, you've got a malignant tumor on your back or a malignant mole or something on your back.
Like
and
skin cancer or something like that.
Something. Mm-hmm. They told me that. They even showed me where it was on her. And I leaned over and, you know, I was ignoring it. They kept bothering me to tell this woman that, and I couldn't find the way to do it. And I reached in my hangnail, and I reached in my carry-on bag and pulled out some nail clippers. And this flight attendant stopped and said, how did you get those through security? And I said, they didn't take them. And she said, well, put those away quickly because, you know, right now everybody's on guard. Mm-hmm. And she sat there. She was kind of stooped down and just said, put them away as quickly as you can. And that gave me the opportunity to say, look, I don't know what your belief system is about psychics or people who get things intuitively. And I found out, had gone to psychics in the past. Mm-hmm. I told her what I had discovered. She said that recently her husband had had a malignant growth taken off his back. But when she said that, I said, nope, it's you.
Wow.
And so, you know, the opportunity, I couldn't find the way just to cold call on her, if
and
you
she
will.
Got back in touch with you later and told you it was true?
You know what? I've got to confess this. I never heard back from her, but at least I delivered the information just in case.
You knew anyway.
Buzz, you had a question,
Chip,
before we let Chip go?
You're working with kids now, like tonight at 10 on A&E. A lot of kids have invisible friends during their early childhood.
Sure.
Is there any connection between that and the psychic ability you see sometimes in children?
One thing I think that I and my co-host, Dr. Lisa Miller, who is a professor of clinical psychology at Columbia University, one of the things that we find, particularly with the younger kids that we work with, is you've got to begin to separate out healthy, childish, childhood imagination from what they're getting spiritually, and sometimes it's hard to do. As kids approach adolescence, I think that, you know, that line of demarcation becomes more definite. It becomes, you know, you leave the imagination behind and can really know what you're getting spiritually. But sometimes I believe that childhood friends can indeed be something that is deeper and more real than that. It can be a spirit that's coming and visiting your kid.
Red rum.
No.
I'm getting freaked out. Hey, Chip, we'd love to get you back on. I want to try that thing with communicating with my father. Yeah. I'd like to do that.
I would be happy to do it for you when I am a little more of sound mind.
No problem at all. The show is A&E's Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal. That's tonight at 10 on A&E. And Chip's also on Paranormal State. That is another program on A&E. And we appreciate you coming on the show. We will talk when you're more rested, even though you did a fine job today, Chip.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. My pleasure to be here with you. Have a great afternoon.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chip.
That's
Bye.
Chip Coffee. That's interesting. I could talk. I mean, I wanted him to do a reading.
We all want
I wanted
believe.
Him to do a free reading for me.
I brought up a picture of him. You know, he sounds like John Waters.
Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does a little bit.
But
like John
he
Waters.
Looks like Joe Gibbs.
He has a little Joe Gibbs look. Yeah. He's very conservative, kind of a crew cut.
Yeah.
He's got that look. And the whole idea, I'm going to look at that show. I'm going to look in on the TV.
You're going to look at television
tonight? I'm going to look at television tonight and check that out because That creeps me out. You sure. want me to go to a horror movie? You want to scare me?
You love to be creeped out.
Have some little kid with, well, that's the whole thing that made The Shining terrifying.
And The Omen.
And The Omen. Oh, yes, on that tricycle. There, oh, yes, Sixth Sense, sure. all that good sure. stuff. So that's Chip Coffee. Good guy.
Good guy.
And I'm saying that because he can sort of see what I'm saying, even though he's not here.
He's giving you something free later,
too. He might be listening.
All right, well, we'll come back with a little vacation update from Mr. Burbank and Mr. Spiewak and who knows, even Beth Ann Porn McBride.
Yay.
Lots more fun and more thrills and, wow. of course, our final buzz when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.